Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Roundtable podcast. I'm James Vickers, hosting this week. I'm joined by Jake Jackman. Bit of a little update episode for you. Obviously, we're in the international break at the moment as we're recording this, and there's been a couple of managerial changes already, which is still quite early on in the season to be having managerial changes, but we'll get into both of them and our thoughts as to why they've happened. The first one, not so much a sacking, Barnsley, Gerhard Struve's left them to go coach New York Red Bulls, which obviously, I'll get your thoughts first on it, Jake. I'll come into mine after. But, I mean, it seems a pretty easy move from his end. What do you think about it?
Yeah, so it does make a bit of sense, really, because he was involved in the Red Bull Salzburg youth teams when he started coaching. Moved on to Liefering, which I believe a Red Bull feeder team, managed there. And obviously moved on to Wolfsburg, slightly higher up in Austria, then moved to Barnsley. So he's been involved in the Red Bull sort of family before. So he's got connections there already. He probably thinks it's a good move for him, experience to live in America, experience the new league. And he's also probably working his way up to managing one of the bigger teams within the Red Bull corporation. We've seen Marsh go from New York Red Bulls to Salzburg. And we see, you know, it's quite a... We've seen other coaches go similar routes and players as well. So it makes sense that although it doesn't seem like it is an upgrade from the Championship going to the MLS, in some ways it is. And also it's probably thinking of his future career in mind and probably wants to go manage Red Bull Salzburg or maybe Leipzig as well. So you can see the theory behind the move. It's a bit of a weird one with Barnsley though. Before he did really well last year. He played quite an attractive style. We've spoken about him a lot on the podcast and how I always rated the Barnsley team and the style of play they used. I always thought they were going to stay up last year and they eventually did, although it did take Wigan getting points deducted, but thought they were deserved of staying up really since he in the period following him taking over. So it's a bit of a blow for them, but it seems to be a theme with Barnsley. They get a good, highly rated coach in. It goes well for a little bit and then it sort of seems to go off the rails. It seems to be differences between coach and the board. They're very rigid in what they do at Barnsley. They like to bring players in a certain way and they've got their philosophy and they don't really like to go away from that, and that causes problems with coaches. So not too surprised he's moved on. It seemed like he was being linked to a lot of jobs and it did feel like a short-term fit for him at Barnsley. So disappointing one for them, especially if they've only, you know, yet to win the season. They've now got to go find another manager. I'm sure they'll appoint somebody who's highly rated and somebody that will continue the work done by Struber. Their last two appointments have both been very good. Yeah, I think disappointing to see him leave the league, but I can see why he's done it, and I still have faith in Barnsley to go and appoint another good coach into the role, even if maybe there won't be an improvement of Struber, but I still think they'll get a decent coach in.
Yeah, I agree with you in terms of the job opportunity for him going to America and managing, you know, New York Red Bulls and obviously his connections with the Red Bull franchise. I won't go sort of too much into that because you've covered that pretty sort of well. I think for him, I was looking sort of at a few clips of what Barnsley fans and people in that environment were saying. And Andy Giddins, who works for, I think, BBC Radio Sheffield, was sort of hit the nail on the head in terms of what you said, that it's become sort of a cycle for Barnsley where they get a young or sort of exciting manager in. He does well with them and the board just seemed to lack that ambition. And from what I saw from the Barnsley fans as well, that was the same sentiment. They were suggesting that, you know, it's a never-ending cycle with them at the moment. You know, they get someone who gets them out of League One into the Championship, but then they don't really have that ambition to then kick on. And if you look now, they're looking for their fifth permanent manager in, I think, 32, 33 months, which, you know, says it all really, that they just can't keep hold of anyone for, you know, a substantial amount of time due to that lack of ambition. And I think Struve will do well in America. He's a manager who I did like in the league, you know, when he took over them, and I think it was November time, they looked, you know, down and out in terms of their position in the league. He won just under half his games with them. So to turn the team around the way he did and get them out of the relegation zone, albeit with that Wigan points deduction, was, you know, very impressive by him. I thought when he came in that Barnsley were already dead and buried, to be completely honest. So did a great job there, and, you know, I wish him the best of luck. And I think for Barnsley now, it's a case of selling themselves to a new manager coming in. If I was a manager going into Barnsley, I'd be looking at it as, while they may be promising me, you know, money to spend and such, it is a short-term fix at Barnsley, it seems. So I think the higher-ups at Barnsley need to change the mentality of the way they go about things now in terms of ambition and wanting to keep hold of these good managers that they are getting, and, you know, hopefully kick on and sustain themselves as a championship club. Moving on then to the second managerial change. Lamucci has left Nottingham Forest. Obviously, Max, who's been on the show, said on the first or second episode that we did, I can't remember which one it was, that it was getting to the point where he could see him leaving, you know, any day. Results haven't gone their way since that episode, and he's now out of a job, replaced sort of immediately by Chris Hughton. I'll obviously go first across to you on this, Jake, but I sort of spoiler for my views on this, I think this is a really, really good appointment by Nottingham Forest. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think the majority of people share that opinion. I think Chris Hughton, we've spoken about him a lot since he left Brighton, talking about him for a lot of jobs that have come up, and he hasn't gone on to them. He seems to be waiting for the right post, and seems to have decided Nottingham Forest is the one for him. It's going to be a difficult one. I think there are easier jobs that have come up in the last year or so that would have been easier for him, that he would have had more time in, it would have been less pressure. But he's gone in there, and I guess he sees it as a real opportunity to improve his reputation and do it at a bigger club. Once again, he's obviously managed Newcastle before. I know that as a Newcastle fan, he did a good job with us, didn't get enough time in the Premier League, and then he's pretty much any job he's taken since then has gone really well. He did well at Birmingham, did well at Norwich, stabilised them in the Premier League for a little bit before getting moved on there, and then he's done well at Brighton and again stabilised in the Premier League. He's not been relegated back to this level. He seems to be very good at getting teams out of this division and keeping them in the Premier League for a couple of seasons, but he's just not seen sexy enough for the Premier League for the long term, which might be a little bit unfair really, but yeah, good one for Nottingham Forest. They've had a lot of managers. I think Lamucci was the first one to complete the season in a good number of years, so be good to see him come in. He's a manager that's known for winning promotion. He'll get them well organised at the back. Chris seems to quite defensively solid, and then they can offer quite a threat on the counter attack. And I think there's some players in that team that will do well in that sort of style. I think Lewis Graben, we know a lot about. He's a good player at this level. I think Joe Lolly will benefit from the move. I think Sami Amiobi could be one that benefits from the move. And I think that what Forest need most of all is they need consistency of selection. They've got so many players there. They've made so many transfers over the last few years. They need somebody to come in and pick a settled sort of 15, 16 to pick from. And Chris Hughton's definitely that type of manager. He likes to rely on the same types of players week in, week out. And yeah, I think it'll be good for Forest. I think that it is a difficult one for him. There are challenges to be had in that squad to keep the players happy, to move players on, to keep the owner happy. We've seen how many sackings he's made since he's come in, and to keep the fans happy because there are high expectations. But, you know, if there aren't many sure things in management, but Chris is probably as close as he can come to a sure thing in the Championship. So I'm sure he will be a success. But I think it's a slightly trickier job than maybe he could have taken elsewhere, but he backs himself to do it. And if he, similar to Bielsa at Leeds, you know, he took them up and we see how he's regarded. If Hughton takes Nottingham Forest up to the Premier League, whether that be this season, next season, year after, if he manages to do it, he'll be written into their history for the rest of time. It would really be that big. So he's definitely seeing that potential
achievement for him, and seeing how big that could be in the great scheme of things. You know, if he would have gone into Bristol City this summer and taken them up, it would have been great, but it wouldn't be to the same level as taking Nottingham Forest back up. I think that he'd just be, you know, what that would do for his career. There's not many other jobs outside the Premier League that would bring that acclaim, so I can see definitely why he's gone for it. And you know, as somebody who's watched Chris Hughton manage my own team, I'm pretty confident that he'll go in there and sort of fight the fires that need to be fought, and then push the team on. And I think promotion this season, you know, it's within their possibility. You know, it's only been four games, it's not gone yet, but I think he probably won't be targeted that himself. I think he'll be looking to find which players he can trust, find a team, start to build some consistency, maybe push up towards the top eight, and then next season really go for that promotion. I think that'll probably be his aim. He did it at Brighton. He had to come in when they were near the bottom, got them away from trouble. And then over the next 2 years, they were probably the best team in the Championship over those 2 years. Unlucky not to go up in the first one, then went up in the next one. So, yeah, don't think it's a great appointment. And I think if he manages to get them up, I think he'll, you know, probably go down as the biggest achievement of his career to date.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I completely agree with you with what you've said there regarding Chris Hughton. I think he's a fantastic manager. And when you mentioned that Lamucci was the first manager to complete a season for Nottingham Forest in the last few years, I went and I've had a look, and 11 managers in the past 5 years Nottingham Forest have had. So Chris Hughton, he is a manager who tends to spend, you know, a fair bit of time at a club. So I think that's vitally important for Nottingham Forest. Hopefully now they've found the manager that they can build a squad around. You mentioned they've got a lot of players, and the majority of those players, if you've had that many managers in that short space of time, there's a lot of players from different managers there. So, you know, Lamucci had obviously players brought in that he wanted, but a large core of that team is players that he's inherited. So I think Hughton, while obviously Forrest had liked to go up this season, I think if he can, you know, build a squad around the players that he wants, and Forrest give him that time, which historically they haven't done, but he is a manager who does tend to stay for, you know, a few years at least at the club. I think, you know, he is probably the man who can take them up. You mentioned he's got Newcastle and Brighton out of this division before. He's done well at Birmingham and Norwich as well and stabilised them. So I think he's a fantastic manager. If they get to the Premier League, I'd like to see them keep him. You know, Brighton especially, he was doing okay with them there. Graham Potter's a fantastic manager and he has kicked them on. But, you know, for a Brighton side who'd never been in the Premier League before that, he was doing fantastic there. So hopefully if he does get them up, they give him a chance in the Premier League to, you know, really stamp his mark on that division. But I think, yeah, great appointment for Nottingham Forest, much of the same as to what you've said. And yeah, I think what we're going to move on to next in terms of dark horses for promotion this year, I think Nottingham Forest could be one, and certainly in the league at the moment for teams who haven't been in the Premier League, you know, recently, I think Nottingham Forest are that team that are primed for, you know, a real go at it if they can just sort the off-the-field stuff out. So I'd like to see Hughton given time. Whether that happens, you know, remains to be seen with the nature of the owners that they have in at the moment at Nottingham Forest. But I'd like to think that Chris Hughton has said that to them, you know, when he's gone in there. So time will tell. But I think on the face of it, very good appointment. In terms then, obviously, I mentioned there about dark horses for promotion this year. There's a few teams up towards the top end of the table already. Obviously, it's still early days. We've only had four games for everyone in the division so far, so we can't really go off the table as it is at the moment. There's a few teams I'd expect to be up there, the likes of Bournemouth and Swansea, but in terms of dark horses for the league this season, Jake, is there anyone, not necessarily to win the league, but I'm thinking more so playoffs and teams that you wouldn't have thought at the end of last season had any realistic chance? Are there any teams that jump out to you who you think potentially could cause an upset this season and get into the playoffs and potentially then kick on one further and get promoted to the Premier League?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good year for maybe a surprise promotion. I think last year we didn't really have that. I think a lot of people expected Leeds to go up. I think, you know, West Brom were seen as a team that were between the Championship and the Premier League and were one of the better teams in their two-year stay at this level. And Fulham obviously had just come down, so it wasn't really a surprise promotion. But I think we might get that this year, right? If you look at the teams that have already taken maximum points, Bristol City and Reading, I don't think many people would have expected them to be challenging at the top. It's still very early days, but they've made a good start. And I think Swansea as well have made a really good start. But I think a lot of us expected them to be challenging back into the top six. I think it's really what's eye-catching for me is that, you know, we've got a few teams that haven't conceded a goal, that have only conceded once this season, Reading, Swansea and Watford. And I think that's more important than going the other way. I think having a strong defence is important to push on and challenge. And those three teams have got that, although Watford have only scored twice. That's a little bit of a concern for them and why they're slightly lower in the table. But I think Reading and Swansea have definitely caught the eye over the first couple of games. I could expect maybe Swansea to sustain that a little bit further, but I think Reading do have a really good have some really good players in their team. I think Ajaria is going to step up this year. He's already started the season quite well, and in Zhao and Puskas, they've got strikers that can score goals at this level, and Michael Elise as well, the young attacker coming through and playing. They do have a lot of exciting players on that Reading team, so I'd expect them to be in the top half competing, but it's still really too soon to predict them to be getting promoted. And I think other teams that maybe haven't started too well but could be a surprise one. I think I'll let you talk about Preston, but I think we do that every year. But I think I'd probably look at Millwall. I think Millwall have got a really good team. I think Jed Wallace is one of the best players in the division. I think they've got a good core of players. I think Troy Parrott hasn't got going yet, but he's one that could explode in the coming weeks. And I just think they've played quite well under Gary Rowett, and Rowett has been a really good fit for them. So, you know, they've taken 5 points from their first four games. Pretty good start to the season, get some points on the board, and could maybe see them pushing on and challenging for the top six and possibly promotion. But it's probably, you know, it's easy to point out Reading and Bristol City. That's obvious, and I still want to see more from a team that hasn't maybe picked up as many points but could be competing. I'd look at Millwall.
Yeah, I agree with you with Reading. I spoke to Simeon, obviously, been on the show before in pre-season. I did a piece for their website where I thought Reading could potentially be one of the sleeper teams to not necessarily get playoffs. I didn't think that at the time, but I thought have a good season and, you know, get top half, similar to how Preston have done in recent years, where they just fall a little bit short, but obviously better than they have done in recent years in regards to Reading. They've you know, a few years just sort of stayed up with sort of 5 or 6 points in hand. So I think definitely them this year, they look to have got the off the field stuff sorted now. I agree with you with Ajaria as well. I think he's going to be a really good player in the division this year. The way he started as well, I think he'll kick on as well. I think Bristol City, I always think that they'll be in and around the playoffs. I won't consider them as like a dark horse. I think Millwall, I agree with you as well. I think Troy Parrott, very good player from what I've seen of him so far at Spurs and the little glimpses I've seen at Millwall. I think he will score goals at this level, and not necessarily Millwall, but I know there's talk of Saliba, the centre-back from Arsenal, potentially going to a Championship club. So, for example, if they could get him, you know, it'd be a real sort of step for them. I think he's touted to either go to a London-based club or back to France on loan, so I'm not sure what will happen there. other sort of teams that I think maybe sort of dark horses, I think Blackburn, they've started really well, looking at sort of the statistics going around them as well. They've had like the most shots in the division as well. And we're a team that were unlucky to miss out on the playoffs last year as well. So I think, you know, they could potentially come close. Preston, we always say, don't we, that they'll be there or thereabouts. And what's been really missing for us the last couple of years is an out-and-out striker. I've said it countless times on the show, said it to Louis and Max the other week. And since then, we've actually put our hands in our pockets for once, paid a bit of money, over £1 million for a striker. Kind of an unknown quantity, signing him from Randers in Denmark, plays for the Danish under-21s, and he's really highly thought of. So if he can score goals, and what's sort of coming out of Preston at the moment is that, you know, he's absolutely rapid in training. He's a tall lad and he knows where the back of the net is. So, I mean, last season, I think Shaunie Maguire scored 3 league goals, which for the guy who's leading the line for us, you know, isn't good enough. He has other areas of his game which he does contribute, but for your leading striker to only get 3 goals in the league, you know, alarm bells are ringing. So if Emil Rees-Jacobsen can kick on and even get into double figures for us, I'd be delighted. And we've had a few other players step up so far this season. Alan Brown, Ryan Ledson and Brad Potts have all kicked on and look like they're going to have really good seasons. The thing with us, though, as it is every season apart from the striker, is keeping all of our best players. So with a few days left of the championship window, hopefully we can keep hold of those, you know, better core that we have. And potentially, I think we could be there or thereabouts again. But yeah, I think for me, 2 sort of standout ones, I think are Reading. Again, it's too early to tell with them, but I think Blackburn will be sort of there or thereabouts this year with the way that they had last season and the way that they've recruited in the summer. I think they will be one of those teams that we look at who are going to sort of challenge for the playoffs quite seriously this year. Before we wrap up then, we'll just go into covering the games for when the championship does restart at the weekend. 3 games to preview for this, Jake. First of all, the Friday night game, we've got Derby against Watford. On the face of it, looks like it'll be a really good game. Obviously, Watford have been struggling a little bit in front of goal at the moment. Derby, you never know what you're going to get with Derby. They're sort of down near the bottom of the table at the moment, 3 defeats on the bounce. But on their day, they can be as good as anyone in the league. How do you see this one going, and who would you pick if you had to pick a winner in this one?
Yeah, this can be an interesting game. I think Derby started the season quite poorly. I was expecting it to be a lot better this season, but they still have a lot of young players, and you're always going to get that sort of inconsistency. So it'd be interesting to see if they can find a little bit more after the break. I think Watford have surprised me a little bit this season in that they've got such a good squad and so many good attacking players, but they've only scored twice, which is a bit of a concern. They've still got Ismail Assar on the books as we speak. So, unless he gets a move to the Premier League before the weekend, he should be playing. João Pedro, I've been quite impressed with some of his play. And I think he's a player that's going to get better and better as the season goes on. I thought Garner, who's coming from Man United on loan, looked really threatening against Reading. Didn't get on the score sheet, but came very close. So they've got a really good team, Watford, and I think that they're going to be ones that maybe start slowly but develop as the season goes on. But I think I'm slightly more optimistic about Watford than I am about Derby long term. So yeah, I'll go for a draw on this one, but just because Watford are struggling to score goals. But yeah, I think I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw in this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for a draw as well. I think Derby, I thought, would kick on a bit more this season. They've got some really good sort of young players. They've got a good mix of experience as well with you know, the likes of Rooney in there as well. And I just thought that they would kick on more so than they have done, which, you know, has surprised me that they haven't. The games that they've had, you know, on paper, really, you wouldn't think they'd do better in them. Luton, they got beat by Blackburn, they got absolutely demolished by. So yeah, Derby a bit of an inconsistent one for me. I think I agree with you with Watford. I think they are struggling to score goals at the moment. James Garner from Man United is a player I really like. There was rumours of him being linked with us on loan at one point, and I would have been absolutely delighted to get him. And I think him and Dylan Levitt, those two young players that they've got out on loan at the moment, are going to be sort of real sort of breakout players for Man United over the next few years, similar to Mason Greenwood. So I think he'll have a fantastic season for Watford. I just think, obviously, with Watford's sort of inability to score too many goals at the moment, I'm going to go for a draw on this one as well. I think it will be a close game. I think there'll be goals in it. I think it will probably be, as you said, 1-1. I just can't pick a winner in this one, so I'm going to hedge my bets and go with a draw. Moving into the next game then, I'll move it across to the Saturday games. We've got Barnsley, obviously yet to appoint a new manager, so that could change by the time the game comes round on Saturday, versus Bristol City, who've won all four of their games so far this season, as we touched on. Who do you think will pick up a win in this one, and how do you see the game going?
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting game again. I think Bristol City is difficult to go against them. Four wins out of four. Barnsley have lost their manager. There might be a little bit of upheaval there. Might be a few changes made to the team with a caretaker manager in charge, as far as we know. So, yeah, it's difficult to back a team without a manager, especially one that hasn't won the season. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go for Bristol City to make it 5 out of 5 and really get off to a good start. Go 2-1 Bristol City.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bristol City win as well. I think the way they've started and the way they're playing, I think Bristol City finally this year will be there and thereabouts for the playoffs. Barnsley, obviously, they've got some good players on paper. They just haven't, for whatever reason, kicked on from where they were at last season, where they were, a sort of decent side. Obviously, Struber's gone now, so I think unless they get a manager in and get that, bounce off a new manager, it'll be difficult for them. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Bristol, obviously the form team at the moment in the division, top of the league. Them and Reading on the same amount of goals and the same amount of points. So, going to go Bristol, obviously form and say, but, with the Championship and the way Barnsley played last season, they can turn it on a click of your fingers. So I wouldn't be surprised if Barnsley do get something out of the game. But as it stands at the moment, I think I'd go with Bristol City to win this. And then finally, the Sunday game, Jake, it's Preston versus Cardiff at midday on Sky. Preston never do well on Sky, so I'm a little bit sort of wary of sort of backing us on this. Us and Cardiff both had sort of an indifferent start to the season, a win each, a draw each, and two defeats. Us with zero goal difference, and Cardiff with -1. So we've both had a bit of a hit and miss start, both looking to get a win on the board and start climbing up the table. How do you see this one going on Sunday?
Yeah, it's be a tough game. Both teams probably got ambitions of making the playoffs this year. Obviously, Cardiff did it last year, but I haven't been too impressed with Cardiff so far this year from when I've seen them. It's been a little bit of a drop off, there's still some really good players on that team. I think they could definitely go in and win at Preston, but I always favour Preston at home. I always think that they normally do work deep there. I think that the win over Brentford will give you a lot of confidence. Not only beating one of the best teams in the league, but also coming back from two goals down as well. It's gonna give you so much confidence. I'd probably make Preston slight favourite. So yeah, I'll go for 1-0 Preston in this one. Don't think there'll be too many goals.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be too many goals either. I think I would just give us the advantage. I think from Cardiff's point of view, Lee Tomlin got sent off last game, so obviously he'll be a big miss for them. A lot of creativity in that attacking third for them. And Kiefer Moore as well looked like he picked up a bit of an injury against England. I think he did play in the game against the Republic of Ireland, but didn't look fully fit. So whether he starts or not remains to be seen. So I think definitely losing Lee Tomlin will be a big loss for Cardiff. I think the only sort of asterisk against Preston at the moment, this could change between now and the game. I think Alan Brown pulled out of the Wales squad along with the Republic of Ireland squad, pulled out of their squad for the Wales game because they were in close contact with someone who had caught coronavirus. I think their tests have all come back negative, but I don't know if there's a period where he's got to sort of isolate just to be sure. So I assume that I'd be him and Shawnee Maguire because they roomed together for Ireland. So could be potentially one or two of our sort of key players missing, but I think that'll give an opportunity to, as I mentioned, Emil Rees-Jacobsen to come in. And other players have been playing well as well. Tom Barkhuizen's back from suspension as well. So those two will slot right into that starting 11. So I think I'll give it to us just to shade it. I think, yeah, probably 1-0 or 2-1 will be sort of what I'd go for. I don't think it'll be an easy win for either side. I think it'll be quite a tight game, but someone will probably just shade it. So I'm going to go Preston and back the team I support. With that, we're out of time. Jake, if you want to let anyone know any projects you're involved in, any socials, anything like that, now's a good time.
Yeah, just for listening, get me on Twitter at Jake Jaffer with two N's and post anything I write there. Also, check out the Premier League show at EPL Roundtable. There wasn't a show this week because of the international break, but there'll be one at the weekend. So yeah, get that one.
Yeah, and you can find me on my Twitter, which is at @_JamesVickers. More importantly, you can find the show at Championship Pod. Each episode is our pinned tweet on there, so give us a follow, turn the notifications on, and you won't miss an upload. But with that, we'll see you next week for a roundup of all the games that are to come this weekend. Thank you for listening.
Searching for the perfect gift idea for that hard-to-buy person on your list? The Allbirds Wool Runner is a natural fit. The Wool Runner is super cozy, super comfy, and super giftable. It's made with ZQ-certified merino wool, a naturally cozy material that offers next-level comfort and a lower environmental impact. The cushioned midsole and versatile design offer all-day comfort in a classic style you can wear every day, even in a winter wonderland. And its fully machine washable construction makes it easy to keep your shoes looking like new. Allbirds shows off the Wool Runner's carbon footprint right on the shoe so you can see the difference for yourself. On top of that, they actually offset that carbon footprint to zero, making the Wool Runner completely carbon neutral, so you can stay cozy and tread lighter on the planet. This holiday season, give tidings for comfort and coziness with the Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.